Maddie and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Yes, this is our podcast. For Tuesday the 24th of May, juice going quick, isn't it?
Don't you reckon?
Not really.
All right, where'd you stick your finger? That's what we looked at today.
Yeah, we kept it clean as possible.
You won't believe when people called us about where they did stick their finger.
Yeah,
not necessarily them.
And how early would you like to retire?
Yeah, exactly.
Ooh, and how early could you retire?
28, how does that sound? Byron
Even
Bays.
Earlier.
Byron Bays, that show. I haven't watched it on Netflix, but it's been given a review.
I never will.
Me either. We've got also another news.
After the review. Anyway.
And Wayne Bennett called us this morning looking at the State of Origin team that Paul Gallen put in the paper the other day.
Gee, Wayne Cop's a bad rap. He's a nice bloke.
Oh, he's an absolute. And a champion. That's coming up on our podcast.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
There's a story going around this morning. There's a good reason you don't try and touch the animals at the zoo. But this man has learned the lesson the hard way. It's viral. It's all gone viral too, this footage. It's captured a moment a man working at a Jamaican zoo had his finger ripped off by a lion.
It's so bad. What was he thinking?
I know.
Who sticks you? I mean, really?
Look, admittedly, look, the bloke didn't poke his finger through the fencing and wriggle it in the lion's face.
Like a worm?
Yeah. What he did, when the lion, like that, I think he just wanted to pat him.
He went into the side and tried to scratch the lion on the chin. And the lion's just sort of thrown its head to one side and going, I'll grab that.
Yeah, but that's not like sticking his finger in like a worm.
Oh, he still has had it. He still had a go. Like, why would you even think that was
I know. And look, it's a safe place. The Jamaican zoo was least
took
a safe place.
Right off.
I know, took it right off. And he swore, as you would. Jamaican Zoo has released a statement to assure the public the zoo is a safe place for both people and animals.
Oh, unless you stick your hand into the lion's cage.
Yeah. Wouldn't have happened with the, what was he, the Tiger King? Joe Exotic. A few of those that worked at his zoo lost a few limbs. But want to know this morning, dumb places you've stuck your finger. What have you done with your finger that
I think moment? I might have told you this before.
What happened?
I stuck my, when I was about, I don't know, 8 years old, I was curious about the blender at home. And so I stuck my hand in and held onto the blades to see how strong it was when you turned it on.
Were they stronger than your finger?
It scared the hell out of me. I held it for half a second and then panicked and tried to take my hand away. And it's gone one full revolution and nicked me on the way through. Like, cut me, but it didn't take the finger off.
Why is it your finger? I remember this was years ago when we got the cigarette lighter fixed in the car because we were traveling with the kids. And you know when you had those portable DVD players that plugged into your cigarette lighter, but our cigarette lighter, what? Because we were heading up to the Gold Coast. And so anyway, so I took it in to get fixed and I depressed it. And then when I opened it, I pulled it out, the cigarette lighter, and I thought, oh, is that heating up or not? Because I wanted to make sure it was working.
Doesn't look like
and
it's working.
I was going to stick it on my tongue, but I thought I'd just use my finger. And I went, I did. What a number.
You're like the kid that grabbed the candle.
I know. Like exactly like bloody Bart Simpson. And no, with that rat experiment. But we want to know this. All right, dumb places you've stuck your finger. Could have been in a blender. We'd love to know. 1-3-3-5. We've all done it.
Could have been under a deck. Like, oh, I'll tell you what, you would not catch me ever sticking my hand under a deck.
Oh, no, because you're fearful of spiders.
No, that's what they love it under there.
You're arachnophobic.
Those funnel webs, they love it.
Yeah, so give us a call. Let us know. This is pretty wild.
What a halfwit.
Have a listen.
And he's pulling away to try and get his finger off, and then all of a sudden the lion just goes and pulls back and see you later.
Yeah, dumb places you've stuck your finger. 1-3-3-5-3.
G'day, Nate from Long Jetty.
How you going, gentlemen?
Our fishing reporter, not too bad, mate. Pouring where you are this morning.
Mate, I'm sitting at Headlong, mate, and it's absolutely teeming down.
Yeah, mate, I can hear it.
Not much good for concreting.
No, I don't concrete, mate, but I'm a rigman, a rigger dogman.
Okay, wet steel, no deal. That's the motto.
Yeah, but I was just hearing what you were saying about places you wouldn't put your fingers. We've got a little saying in the industry.
Yeah.
Don't put your fingers where you wouldn't put your peckerwood.
Okay. Okay. All right. You could have told me that.
A lot
that,
of people have failed on that one.
Yeah, could have told me that a couple of years ago. Thanks, Nate. I don't know. I got stuck in a cage with a lion once. Oh. And I did at the zoo, at the circus down on the waterfront.
What were you doing in a cage with a lion?
Oh, because the bloody radio thing. And the bloody lion jumped from one podium to the other with me bending over.
And you were in the cage with the lion.
In the cage. Oh, jeez, I tell you. I know.
What were you wearing?
Oh, well.
Chainmail?
Well, I was wearing something different after I went in the cage. Talk about fair dinkum.
Yeah.
Because Kirst was in Hobart and she was furious. She's with the kids because Cal was only a little fella. Yeah. Cal and Hannah were only kids. So that was years ago.
You know, speaking of little kids, that's everyone would understand this, but when we were, Gretel must have been two, but her fingers are tiny. And she's playing with the kids, the other kids, and they're all slamming doors around the house. And you're just going, oh, don't stop slamming the doors. Yeah. Someone's going to get their finger stuck. Anyway, Greta, you know how the hinge side of the door, opens up, and so that's open?
Yeah.
She's holding on to the door jamb with her fingers as one of the kids shut the door. And her little tiny finger, she should have heard a scream. Oh.
And you sink
because you see her finger's been jammed into a 3 millimeter gap because the door jamb shuts. Squashed it. And she's there stuck in the door. And then open the door. They've opened it up and she was bawling. But her fingers didn't break.
Mate,
she was so small.
I did that with Cal. With the car, we went to the skate park, and I didn't realise that he had his hand above on the roof. No. And I closed the door, and you feel as a parent.
The car door.
Oh, you feel so. Oh, God, you feel bad.
You sink.
Oh, Liz Killarney, Val. Hello.
Hey, Liz.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. We're looking, we're dumb places you've stuck your fingers.
Well, it's more dangerous than a lion cage. It's my fish tank. And if you stick your fingers in, then the Oscars jump up and bite them.
What's an Oscar?
A fish.
Is that a brand of a fish or the name that you called it?
No, it's a brand. It's an Oscar. They're quite aggressive and there's two in there. All night long, it smashes up the glass lid of the fish tank, just headbutts it and moves it all the time. But if you put your fingers anywhere near it, it'll jump out and bite the tip of your finger.
No way. Is that like a piranha type thing?
I feel like it should be advertised like that, but no, it doesn't have like that.
Where'd you get that from?
From the fish. The kids are like, they've got like a poisonous catfish in there. They've got a shark in there. They've got Oscars in there. They've got everything.
Bags are coming to your joint.
Who wants to feed the fish? Not me.
And I feel like Matty's trying to steal the thunder from Johnny Depp and Amber Heard because Amber allegedly cut Johnny Depp's fingertip off.
Yeah. Oh, have you been following the case?
Oh, I love it.
Same with my missus. I go home and she's watching it. I'm there, what are you doing? And she then stops and talks to me about it. I'm there, I'm not interested. I'm not interested.
Daddy, you have to pretend to care. It's so amazing for us. You have to.
Yeah, I
to
know. Care. Oh, and then I get the details. It's like court TV.
So watching Judge Judy.
Yeah. All right, Lizzie.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Thanks so much for that. Kylie from Wyoming.
Kylie.
Dumb places you stuck your finger.
It wasn't me. It was my sister on my niece's birthday. We were having a heap of people over for first birthday lunch and she decided to make coleslaw, put her finger into the food processor to move piece of carrot. Lost the tip of her finger, missed the whole first birthday party because she had to have microsurgery to reattach her finger.
Did you eat the coleslaw?
And any future events, so her sister's just turned one, no coleslaw.
No, of course not.
We're
would you?
From having coleslaw. Yeah.
Did she put a hand in whilst it was on?
Yeah. She just had a brain phase. Something got stuck, so she went to move it, and a piece of carrot was stuck, and banger.
But that was like Justin Avendano, who comes in for sport with us. His mate, I remember when Just was telling me, while the mower was going, tried to put his fingers up underneath while the blade was going.
Oh,
and you go, come on. Thank you, Kylie. Naomi from Davistown.
Naomi.
Hi, how you going?
Yeah, good.
Where to get put the finger?
So my daughter got a zip tie and zip tied it around her finger.
Oh, no, that would have cut off the circulation.
Yeah, it did. We couldn't even get scissors in there to cut it off.
Oh.
So how did you get it off?
Because
scissors can't...
You'd start to panic, wouldn't you?
Well, yeah, because it was going purple. But my husband... It took about 20 minutes, but my husband ended up using, wire cutters and just snipping at it until it came off. But, yeah, my daughter thought it was quite funny.
Yeah, because I could just imagine pulling it really tight and the finger just turning red and purple from all the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She wasn't little either. So, yeah, she does stuff like that.
Mm, she takes after the father, doesn't she, Naomi?
Maybe, yeah. But you were talking before about fingers in door jams. My now 17-year-old, when she was 1.5, was stepping down a step and put her hand in a door jam where the hinges are. And my other daughter's friend slammed the door and slammed her finger in there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, well, and she tried to pull it out, so she pulled the tip off her finger. It was just hanging by the nail bed. So we had to have microsurgery for that one.
Oh,
I tell you what, Naomi, your family, no health insurance company would take you, would they?
Yeah, no, definitely not. Accident prone.
All right, Naomi.
Oh, Naomi, I tell you what, this will be dangerous, but you should take the family anyway.
Oh, don't do it. Don't give them the go-karting pass.
All right, enjoy some speedy fun for everyone at Hyper-Karting, Naomi. We're going to send you to spend $250 there with the family.
Best of luck.
Oh, definitely not getting health insurance now,
we got Grant from your minor. Hello, Grant.
Hello. How you going, mate?
Yeah, good, Grant. Mate. What happened? Where'd you, dumb places you stuck your finger?
Well, I was with my missus once, and we were making sweet, sweet love in the bed, and I actually stuck my finger in an eye.
In her eye? Right?
Yeah, her eye.
No.
I was ready to go for the dump button.
Yeah, no, G-rated, fellas, G-rated.
Oh, yeah, well done.
My real one was I was working in hospitality a few years ago and counting all the money for the safe, put all the money in the safe, closed the door on my thumb.
Oh, on a safe?
Oh. The safe door.
And so then someone...
How long did it take you to open it?
It took me about 5 goes to crack the code because I had white noise. The tip of my thumb was in there. I was screaming like a little girl. The boys rushed in. I was the only one that knew the code, but I couldn't think of it. Yeah, mate, I got it out. Yeah, my thumb turned black for about 3 weeks. The nail went black. Took about another couple of weeks to drop completely off.
Great.
That was painful as well.
Jeez, I tell you what, that wins. That wins.
But yeah, I caught more grief off my girlfriend, though.
Yeah, you would.
Poke her in the eye with your finger. All right, Granny, thanks for that, mate. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. And speaking about the Doyle, they could get the $200 million transformation, could go going through the council, could get passed tonight. So it's going to be big money for up there.
Yeah, for sure.
Doyle, yeah. And also, news this morning, iconic Australian brand LV Reels will close after more than 102 years in business, creating its signature fishing reels. We should get our Nathie, our fishing expert, on.
Well, we need...
Sad.
We don't want to hear him cry on air.
Announcing the shutdown in emails to shoppers and on social media, the company said drastic cost increases in raw materials as well as global supply chain issues were proving to be too expensive to remain in business, and it's going to cease from its facility in June 30, where it's been since 1978. There've been issues over the last couple of years, and they've come through it, and so they're shutting out another icon brand.
Fishing world going to miss LV Reels?
Oh, I think because it's Australian. Didn't you have that? I can still remember, kid. I wasn't big in fishing, but I still remember having an LV reel.
Never owned a fishing rod in my life.
Haven't you really?
No.
Oh, you're an Australian, mate.
No.
Just saying.
We had a hand line.
Yeah. Didn't you have an LV?
Didn't have a fishing rod.
Who am I? Who are you? 133353. Well, ask Aaron. Aaron from Canwell. G'day, mate.
Did you grow up with a fishing rod?
Boys. Yes.
Did you have an LV?
Of course I had an LV.
See, Rob's never had a fishing rod. He's an Australian.
No, geez, you make stuff up.
He's too busy dancing with the stars while he was growing up, wasn't he?
Exactly.
I was busy riding BMX, watching BMX Bandits on repeat. I was busy playing footy. I was busy studying.
Me thinks someone protests too much.
Oh, there you go. You borrowed that one too. All right. What do you got, Az?
I reckon the bunker needs to be sacked.
Thank you, Aaron. Palmer doesn't reckon. Well, he hasn't had a fishing rod. He hasn't had an LV. And
why would you sack the bunker? It's the one thing that can actually they don't get it wrong all the time.
Majority of the time, mate.
Human error may creep into things occasionally, but if they've got a set of rules, they see the vision in front of them, then they get a call based on the rules given to them.
But not after the weekend. What do you think, Az?
What's wrong with the referee making the call? He's out there reffing the game. You don't need to throw it out back to someone else to watch it on a big screen 400 million times to come up with some other determination.
I sometimes look at it. Look, they do, in some circumstances, you go, they get it right.
What if the referee cannot see whether the ball's been grounded or not? He just says no try.
Well, that's his call. We've just got to move on from it, unfortunately.
Whether so how many games are going to be ruined because the wrong decision is made, Az?
Well, that's the thing, though. It's NRL. Like, you're out there playing the game. It should be run by, like, the proper way with referees that can actually make a call on the field. They're put in that position to actually make a call, not refer it to somebody else.
And games have been ruined now because of the stupid decisions from the bunker.
What happened to two referees on the field?
Oh, I remember that experiment.
That was stupid.
But, like, honestly, when I look at that bunker and you see them and you go, are you not seeing what we're seeing?
They probably see another four visions that you don't see.
No, they don't.
They got heaps of cameras.
Yeah, but they what we're seeing on TV, that's the one that they're reviewing. So, okay, so you reckon, so sack the bunker, Aaron. Okay, one for... And Aaron, what about Rob believes that the council is doing the right thing by increasing water rates?
Of course they have to increase
17%.
Rates.
There he goes.
Increasing everything at the moment in a time where we don't know what's going on in this country.
Mm. Yeah.
It's not a real safe thing.
Yeah.
But I could actually, like, I was having this discussion actually with the boss at work, and I said, mate, they keep pushing the pressures up on all homeowners. They're going to really cause a bit of a problem for everyone. Interest rates will climb, everything's going to climb up, and it's going to leave a lot of people homeless.
Oh, Palmer doesn't worry about that. As long as he
don't
keeps
you his, put words in my mouth.
Well, you were
you
saying
animal.
You were agreeing
I
with the
did not
with
worry
the
about
water
that.
Increase.
I think that's a great worry and a huge concern that people are going to be under financial pressure
right,
to keep their homes.
So give them another 17% bloody increase on their water.
No, I'm just saying that you
for
have
for these
to,
people who never have, did a bloody thing.
If you don't increase the cost of services, then you can't cover.
But in the current climate,
the cost of providing the service, and then all of a sudden you get a $650 million debt.
Oh, we weren't responsible for that
because you didn't pay increased rates.
Sorry, what was that? As
they blew that cash clean up, it came out of the wrong funding.
Yeah, and they went into that
there was
restricted
a small
funds.
Amount of restricted funds that was
200
they tried
million.
To access to pay their own wages.
But Palmer reckons we're in the trouble because we didn't increase the rates in the order.
It didn't get increased for years and years.
He hasn't had an LV rod either. Anyway, Aaron, thank you so much, mate. You take care, buddy. All right, mate. See you,
fishing
buddy.
Was boring.
Oh, Tony from Greenpoint saved me this morning.
Tony, are you a fisherman?
Hello, Tony.
I am a fisherman, Rob. Sorry, mate.
Did you have an LV reel?
I've had a LV reel, but it's more a Queensland thing, the LV.
Yeah, there you go.
Oh, okay. All right. Okay. What did you get? What did you buy in New South Wales?
Thanks, Tony, for something.
What did you buy in New South Wales? What's the reels here? Do they make them here?
Yeah, no. We down south, we normally use egg beaters as a general rule, but right. LVs are a beach fishing rod mainly.
Yeah, I had one. Oh, I used to use it from the boat, didn't worry us. Now, Tone, what do you think of the bunker? Should they get rid of the bunker?
Well, the only thing I was going to say, if they ever did get rid of the bunker, they could never show another replay of anything going on with the game.
Yeah, yep, exactly, because all of a sudden, ref got it wrong. Oh, and the place would blow up.
We'd run out of refs after the first round, I reckon.
Yeah, 100%, Tony.
Oh, hang on, you've switched camps now.
No, I haven't.
You were saying
they said if you get rid of the bunker, you'd never have a referee left after the first round because everyone would see a replay and go, oh, that ref's an idiot.
Oh, right, I was doing something. All right, all right, Tony, so keep the bunker.
His ears are painted on.
Yeah. Oh, Shane from Empire Bake. Morning, Shane.
G'day, Shane.
G'day, fellas. How are we going?
Yeah, not bad. What do you reckon? Keep the bunker?
Mate, I reckon flick the bunker, mate. Give them all the LV reeled and set them fishing.
and according to Palmer, give them a water increase bill as well.
Increase. No, why not? And get a floating bobcat. Yeah, no, it's all happening here. I just think that when they slow the play on telly down to frame by frame 5-6 times, you got to think,
my God, what's going on here? Let the man on the paddock, the referee, do his job. Get rid of the clowns up there, upstairs. And, just let the game flow. It's like you turn the 90 minutes roughly into about an hour and a half sometimes.
Yeah.
Tell you what, these people that want to get rid of the bunker will be the same ones whinging to the hills as soon as the referees start making mistakes.
Robbie, did you get your stitches out today?
No, that was yesterday. Yeah, he's yesterday. A bit cantankerous
today.
Quite
neat.
How many photos did they give you of your studs, mate? Come on.
Hey, listen, now very much like a Brad Pitt.
Hang on,
rhyming slang.
Sorry, no, that wasn't Brad Pitt. That was Brad Pitt. Sorry about that. He got mixed up. Anyway. All right, mate. All right. Thanks, Shano. See you, mate. Can't get back in your box now about the bunker.
Mate, the bunker. I'm just saying.
The LB reels, the bunker, and also the increase in water bills. Oh, you've just been shot down today, bud. Unbelievable.
You've just come out of the gun just aiming, haven't you?
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Hey, do we have Triple M beanies still?
Yep, I got one at home.
Oh, can you bring it in? Because I gave mine away.
Well, I can't give it to you. I've been wearing it.
And it doesn't matter because I gave mine away when I was wearing it. Because Callum, my boy, his son, his
mate. Share beanies with people.
Yeah, because his mate Blakey wants one. So if you could bring yours in so I can give them to Blake.
No.
That'd be good. No. Do we still have them?
Share your dandruff-laden beanie.
Nothing
with
wrong
someone.
With that, mate. That dandruff was all stopped.
There's no way I'd share a beanie.
Come on, you can do that. I gave mine away. Look, does anyone watch Byron Bay's? Shane from Empire Bay wouldn't he? I just can't bring myself to it.
No, I wouldn't do
I reckon
it.
Shane from Empire Bay would. Tony from Greenpoint, he'd watch Byron Bay's on Netflix, wouldn't
you
he?
You think? Chad from Dalway, he would.
Oh, Chad would.
No.
Do you reckon? Yeah. What about Aaron from Canmore? Surely.
Definite.
Yeah. What about Chrissy? Where's Chrissy from Buff Point? She hadn't called us for ages.
No. She'd be above that.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Okay. Too highbrow?
I don't know.
Mate, I cannot.
What are you getting at?
I cannot bring myself to watch it. I watched just a clip of it, but
just give me the premise because all I know is
all these social influencers, and they're up at Byron Bay, and it's filmed them, but there's no storyline. They just film them. They're social influencers
doing what?
Just doing influencing. Nothing. Just influencing. So
it's a picture of someone just going down to buy hot chips.
Well, that's all basically.
And then they take a photo of themselves with their hot chips, and then all of a sudden that becomes.
But it's how it's mixing all the personalities together, and how it mixes. And they mix them together. And Margaret Pomerantz.
So it's like Neighbours in Byron Bay.
Yeah, but real, no scripts. There's no scripts. I mean, no scripts, buddy. But Margaret Pomerantz from the ABC, she's given a review. We might get Margaret on just to speak, but this is what Margaret says.
What does Margaret think?
Oh, Byron Bay's on Netflix.
Good evening, I'm Margaret Pomerantz. And a hive of bees once made me their queen. Netflix series Byron Bay's local creatives meet influencers from interstate in a bold experiment asking, what if someone from the Gold Coast moved 1 hour away? But these aren't your everyday garden variety wankers. These are Australia's social media elite. One could be forgiven for seeing these characters as soulless, superficial rat humans. But beneath the linen and absence of personality, there's a lack of self-awareness here that is undeniably captivating. Byron Bay's can ultimately be summed up with one word.
These people are a vibe.
Earthy vibe.
Vibe.
And that word is dog shit.
Two words, Margaret.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
And less than a week away from winding out who will pull on the New South Wales State of Origin jersey. I was reading yesterday, Paul Gallen, for Game 1 of State of Origin series, he's put on his thinking cap, came up with his squad that he'd pick for the opening game at ANZ Stadium. And, geez, I tell you what, when you look at this team, Robert, you just go, geez, they'll have a good side. This is only Gal's pick. He'd go Tedesco in fullback, you know, Brian To'o, Tony Staggs from the Broncos, Stephen Crichton, Josh Adokar at the wing, Jerome Luai, him and Nathan in the halves, Nathan Cleary, Reagan Campbell, Gillard, Damien Cook, Payne Hastley, Martin Angus Crichton, and on Nicho Hynes, which will be good, Central Coast boy.
Looks all right.
Junior Paulo, Jake Trbojevic, and Cam Murray making his. Oh, geez, you look at that and you go, oh, I'm a bit concerned. I'll still have a wager with you, of course.
But yeah.
Because you have to have a wager. You have to have a wager.
But look, was it the worst team in history that beat the Blues?
Oh, yeah, many years ago. Yeah, that's right.
On behalf of the worst team in history.
Remember that?
All right. I'll get this.
All right, you get
Hello,
this.
Hello, Triple Ed. Good morning. Yes, Wayne Bennett, coach of the NRL Dolphins for 2023 and former Queensland State of Origin coach as well. How are you, Wayne?
Yeah, so that's great getting the team ready for the start of the footy season next year. What do you think of Paul Gallen's New South Wales team?
Wayne, Gallen's not had too many punches to the head. Come on.
Yeah, for sure, Wayne. Well, Queensland will have to watch Katoni Staggs and also Nathan Cleary. Both players on five.
Yeah, of course, you'd love to have both those players at your team, the Dolphins, for next year. Who's your key signing for 2023, Wayne?
Flipper? You've signed Flipper for the Dolphins?
He's the only player that understands a word you say.
I bet you're open for a few wet matches then, Wayne. Do you reckon? Yeah, go the Dolphins.
Go the Dolphins.
He's always a good chat, isn't he?
Always a good chat.
Yeah.
Oh, it's made my day.
Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast.
Hey, we just looked at the story. Warriors young gun Chanel Harris-DeVita has made a shock decision to retire at the end of the season. He's only 24. Mm. He's going to give away the game of rugby league. He also ruptured his testicle too in, I think, a couple of matches earlier ago.
During a game?
Yeah. Oh, that would have hurt.
Been collected there a couple of times during games.
Getting the whack. Look, about retiring early, have you done it? Michael Batto Bay. G'day, Mick.
G'day, how you going?
Yeah, good, mate. What's your story?
My son inherited quite a bit of money from his mother because she died and we were divorced for that. So he's retired.
How old is he?
28.
28.
28 and he retired.
Sorry, Michael's in a bad zone. Michael, 28 and retired.
28 years old, retired. What does he do with him? Are you there, Michael?
We'll see if we can get you back.
Let's talk to Jace.
Jace, we'll see if we can get Michael back. There's a few issues with his phone.
G'day, Jason from Budgieway.
Yeah, g'day, mate. How you going?
Yeah, not too bad.
When do you retire?
Oh, it was a medical forced retirement. Yeah, but I'm retired, yep.
How old are you now, Mick? Oh, Jason, 42, I should say.
42.
42. Wow.
43.
And so what forced you out?
Construction work and injury at the construction site. Right. Injured back, ribs, shoulders, legs, all that type of.
So basically, you're retired from work, and I guess workers' comp gets you by. Is that how you get through it?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, so it's a struggle, but yeah, you'd get by just.
Mate, tell us about the upside of retirement, though. Do you like you're bored, or are you having a good time?
Mate, the only upside is more quality time for the family. I've got a young family, so. Drop the girls off to school. I've got, my son's helping me out quite a lot. And, that's the only upside, really, is just more family time.
Does your partner work?
That's so valuable, though.
Does your partner work, Jace?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, she's had to actually pick up, do as much overtime as she can because just the struggles, the everyday struggles of earning a dollar.
Yeah, because if you can't work, you can't work.
No, you can't. How do you go? Do you go all right in the kitchen?
Yeah, I try and help out. Every now and then the back locks up and got to go lay down for a couple of days.
Gee.
Sliced potatoes, cut onion.
But just all that time bending over, you couldn't bend over a stove or a sink because it'd get you right in the lower back, wouldn't it?
Yeah, mate, yeah, the back's pretty stiff.
Well, your kids are lucky to have you around as much as they are, Jace.
Oh, yeah, they love it, mate, Like I said, plenty of quality time. That a lot of blokes like travelling to Sydney. You're up before dark. You're not getting home till dark. So the kids are in bed. So you're missing out on a lot of quality time. So I'm lucky in that sense. Yeah.
What about Netflix, Jace? Do you watch a bit of that?
Come on.
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I've watched yeah, quite a lot of TV series and yeah.
What's your weapon of choice at the moment on Netflix? What would you encourage people to go and have a look at?
Mate, I'm actually watching Peter Jubelin at the moment. I Catch Killers.
Oh, that's Gary. Gary Jubelin.
Oh, sorry, Gary Jubelin. Sorry,
I Catch Killers.
I watch a lot of his documentaries, and it's all about, it's really interesting. It's a lot about people that have been in jail and whatever and recovering and how they get back into life, so to speak.
You and Paddy have got the same fancy. Yeah, he loves
I tell
that
you, I love the crime shows. That's all I watch. But, well, Jace, mate, thanks for giving us a call.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks for that.
It's really nice to talk to you, mate.
Good to hear you focus on the positive, Jace. You sound like a real top bloke.
Always, mate. Yeah, you got to stay. You got to stick to the positives, mate. Yep.
Yeah, very much
so. Well done, Jace.
Thanks, Jace.
Cheers.
We're talking about Michael from Batter Bay. A bit of an issue with his phone. He said his
mum had passed away and left an inheritance to his son, who retired and is 28 years old now.
Michael?
G'day, mate.
Yeah, so we got you back again. Hey, mate, but was the, I don't want to know the exact amount, to the nearest $1,000 would be good. Mate, was it a huge amount, though, to retire at 28? For your boy?
Well, he got a house in Sydney, and then he got a unit on the top floor of a place up in the Swansea, and which he's renting out, and plus cash. So because his mother had a problem with the hospital, and the hospital admitted a fault, so they paid her, and consequently she died of cancer, and then he became quite well off, and he died.
Yeah, right. So he's retired. Does he do, like...
What's he do to keep himself occupied?
Yeah.
Well, he's exceptionally good at killing people online.
Oh, right. He plays a lot of Warcraft or something. Minecraft.
I don't know what he does, mate, but apparently he's very, very good at it. But it doesn't matter whether he gets a wage for it, does it?
No, it doesn't matter what he gets a wage for. Well, he's just set. He's got an income from an investment property. He's got a house he doesn't have a debt on. And he's
plays video games.
You know
games.
What? You can't replace a mum, can you?
No, you can't.
Yeah.
But he can do whatever he likes with his life, you know, so he just does whatever he wants. I'd like to see him go to 5 universities, but...
Maybe one day, mate. Maybe one day, Michael. All right, so
Michael wants to see him do a bit more with his life.
All right, Mickey. Thanks for the call, mate. Paddy and Rob Palmer, the podcast. Subscribe now, and you'll never miss an episode.